National Silver Company presents The Silver Theater, starring Robert Montgomery in Expert Opinion, directed by Conrad Nagel. Brought to you on behalf of two of the greatest names in silverware, International Sterling, world-famous solid silver, and 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Conrad Nagel greeting you from the stage at the Silver Theater in Hollywood and bringing you the 29th in our new series of dramatic productions. Among the many brilliant personalities whose names grace our guest book for future dates are Melvin Douglas, Constance Bennett, Joan Crawford, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., and Helen Hayes. And now a word about today's story. There are, as I'm sure you all know, really two Bob Montgomerys in one. There's the debonair Bob of such pictures as Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's currently popular Fast and Loose. Then there's that other Bob, a sinister and menacing one who brought us the unforgettable characterization of Danny in Night Must Fall. In debating which of these Messrs. Montgomery to bring to you in Silver Theater, we hit upon the novel idea of presenting both of them in successive weeks. So, while next week, in an entirely different play, you will meet Montgomery the scholar and gentleman, tonight you will meet the other Montgomery, also a scholar, but certainly no gentleman. For Bob's going to play the role of Gerald Conway in Expert Opinion, a psychological drama by True Boardman. The house lights dim, the silver curtain rises. The scene, an office in a metropolitan building. A strange office, large yet somehow dark and somber. Heavy curtains drape the walls and windows, all save where a single shaft of light breaks through and casts its beam across the massive desk. This, the private inner office of Gerald Conway, president and general manager of Conway Investment Company. As we meet him first, he's standing before a combination radio phonograph, listening intently. In the chair before the large desk sits his secretary, Evelyn Speer.
If you're going to keep on playing that record, I'll leave. I thought you sent for me to take dictation.
I did. You're nervous today, Evelyn. Whenever this music upsets you, I know you're not yourself.
And suppose the music does upset me. Who wouldn't it upset? That one melody a dozen times a day, week in, week out, month on end. Why?
Suppose we just call it my eccentric taste in music. But if you will, we'll get to work. Take a letter. To all stockholders in Conway Incorporated, my good friends all, as president and general manager of our great corporation, it is with sincere pleasure that I inform you of a further expansion of our great company. And I...
Oh, there's no need for you to dictate this, you know. I can write it from memory. You're doing now what you've done before with all your other promotions. Conway Incorporated is broke, so you're pyramiding, floating a new subsidiary to keep it going. But of course, your dear, faithful stockholders mustn't know that. Oh, no. We must make them think it's a privilege to pour more of their sand down this particular rat hole.
That's so charmingly graphic, Evelyn. Charming. Where were we? Oh, yes. And I am offering to each stockholder an opportunity to...
Right, but you can't go in there. If you make an appointment, Mr. Conway, I...
It's all right, Lewis. It's all right. The gentleman wishes to see me.
You. You don't even remember me, do you? You could take my money. That was easy. But now you don't even know my name.
Oh, but of course I do. You're Mr. Markham. Mr. Edgar Markham of West Avenue. Sit down, Mr. Markham. Mr. Lewis, Miss Speer, we can continue later.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And now, Mr. Markham, may I offer you a drink?
No.
Smoke?
No. You know why I'm here. My stock, $2,000 worth. I saved 5 years to get that money, and you were sure you'd double it. You told me so, and it's no good. It's no good, do you hear?
Don't you suppose we could talk this matter over quietly?
Quietly? You want it quietly. All right. I want my money. All of it. And I want it now. Every dollar I invested in this swindle of yours. Do you understand that, Mr. Conway? You're going to give me back that money.
Oh. Am I?
What do you sit there grinning for?
Mr. Markham, this concern of yours astonishes me. I was sure I had the confidence of all our stockholders.
Our confidence? You formed three companies down south 5 years ago. They all went bankrupt. And now this company is going to the wall, too.
Is it? And who says so?
Everybody. I heard it in my bank and on the street. What are you laughing at?
At you, Mr. Markham. A sober, intelligent businessman, allowing yourself to be upset by foolish sidewalk rumors. Oh, Miss Speer, please ask Mr. Lewis to... Oh, Lewis.
Yes, Mr. Conway?
Somehow, Mr. Markham has gotten some false information about our financial status. Take him and set him right. Will you, Lewis? Even show him the company books if he desires.
I may see the company books.
I'd be glad to. Come along, sir.
Glad you dropped in, Markham.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
You'll get a letter in a day or so about a new subsidiary. You ought to give it some thought. It's a splendid proposition. Good day. Come in, Miss Pierce.
Yes, sir.
You heard?
Who could help it?
He had a gun.
A gun?
In his right-hand pocket. So little imagination these fools have. What about some music?
Oh, Gerald, how can you go on like this? You talked that man out of here today, but he'll be back. Because you and I both know that Conway Incorporated is going to collapse. That'll mean a government investigation. Then what are you going to do?
What would you suggest?
Gerald, get out. Now, a plane, out of the country. You've more money already than you'll ever need. Oh, please, please go before it breaks on top of you. You've got to, Gerald. For my sake.
For your sake. And what will you do?
Well, I'll go with you. Oh, take me, Gerald. I don't care where. Just so you're safe and we're together.
Just so we're together.
Gerald, you're going to make me say it, aren't you? You've known for months. You must have known. It's been waiting for me to put it into words. Oh, all right, I don't care now. I love you.
Well, this intrigues me. It's taken longer than I expected.
Oh, stop laughing, Gerald.
You women can never keep business separate from emotion, can you? So you had to fall in love with me. Why, Evelyn? Tell me. I'm interested. Because, you see, I know that you don't like me. You never have. There's a part of you that's hated me from the first. Yet now you'd run away with me. It's very funny. Don't you agree?
So. It's funny, is it? Well, laugh, then. I can laugh, too. Because you're right. I do hate you. I had an idea that somewhere, far inside of you, there was a shadow of a man. A man that I could love and respect. But I was wrong. Because you're not a man at all. You're a kind of devil.
And you would be my good angel. Is that it? No, I'm afraid you're not the type, Evelyn. And if you were... Yes. Yes, that would be next. A woman impotent of speech will turn to violence. It never fails. You'd better go now, Evelyn. At this point, a woman in your position either becomes hysterical or wildly violent, and neither alternative appeals to me. So suppose you just leave quietly. And believe me, I'm sorry for you.
Oh.
Well?
I wish I could kill you.
Who knows? Perhaps you will. Goodbye, Evelyn. What is this, Lewis? What's the idea of waking me at this hour? And you too, Thomas, you're supposed...
We had to, Gerald. It's happened. This is it.
What are you talking about?
The stockholders. They held a secret meeting tonight.
Evelyn Speer was behind the whole thing. She told the stockholders that the whole setup of the corporation was crooked from the start.
Evelyn said that, did she? No fury like a woman scorned. I might have expected this. In fact, I think I did.
You expected it? Well, then you must realize that you've got to leave the state now before they can swear out a warrant.
You're my lawyer, and you ask that, Thomas. Think of the fee you will lose if I don't stand trial.
I'm not a fool, Conway. I've gotten you out of jams before. But on this one, there's no chance. When they start digging up the other promotions that have failed, they'll compound felonies against you till, well, they have enough to send you up for life.
He's right, Gerald. You've slipped up this time.
You should know by now that I never slip up, Lewis. You say that they're to send me up for life. They won't.
Now, look, Gerald.
No, you look. Both of you. I think this is a part of my library you've never seen.
Hey.
Read some of those titles.
Textbook of Psychiatry, The Criminal Psychote, Psychology of Criminal Behavior. I don't get it.
It's quite simple. You're looking at perhaps the most complete library in this country on criminal insanity.
Yes, but what's it all about?
About the insane, Thomas. The insane. How they get that way and how they act when they are. You see, as it happens, I've been planning for just this moment.
But look, what has your knowing how insane people act got to do with
this? It's got everything to do with it, Lewis. You see, Thomas here will bear me out that there's a law in this state which says that insane persons are not liable to imprisonment for crime. They are liable to be sent to a state institution for a minimum period of a year, to be released when they prove themselves sane again. And what's a year, if there's plenty of money waiting at the end of it? I wonder now if you understand.
You're going to plead not guilty by reason of insanity?
Exactly, Thomas, exactly. Because you see, a certain Gerald Conway made up his mind just 5 minutes ago that he is hopelessly and positively insane. This is Conrad Nagel, ladies and gentlemen, turning the spotlight during this brief moment of intermission on the familiar figure of our Silver Theater spokesman, John Conte.
I think most of you will agree, ladies and gentlemen, that background does count. And women who surround themselves with beautiful, genuine possessions show it. Realizing this, more and more modern young couples are choosing sterling silver for their new homes. Solid silver of lifelong service and enduring beauty, bearing the fine old name International Sterling. You too will be lavish in your praise of International Sterling Silver, particularly their thrilling new pattern, Prelude. For Prelude possesses heirloom standards of craftsmanship. Its lines are incredibly graceful and tapering. Its rose ornament richly, handsomely carved. An inspired pattern of solid silver through and through that's perfectly at home with fine crystal, new damasks, and the traditional elegance of fine china. And though you may think that silver so exquisite must necessarily be far beyond your means, it actually is not. For under International Sterling's budget payment plan, you can buy a complete service of Prelude Sterling out of income. Or you can build a solid silver service by purchasing single place settings of Prelude, one or two at a time, as low as $16.75. Your silverware dealer will be delighted to explain the complete details if you'll visit him tomorrow, Monday. So be sure to see him and discover for yourself that solid silver, International Sterling Silver, is easier than you thought to buy and more thrilling than you dreamed to own.
Once again, the lights are being dimmed and the silver curtain rises on the second act of Expert Opinion, starring Robert Montgomery as Gerald Conway. The collapse of the Conway Investment Corporation, Gerald's arrest, and subsequent surprise plea of not guilty by reason of insanity have been headline news for weeks. And the prosecution has assured the hundreds of enraged investors that Conway's obvious attempt to evade justice will not succeed, that he will be proved sane and sent to the penitentiary. Meanwhile, Gerald Conway himself, released on bail, is at his home.
Table. Chair.
Sickness.
Doctor.
Mountain.
Trees.
Cold.
Ice cream.
Sweet.
Bitter.
Lamp.
Light.
Hungry.
Food. Faster. Read them faster, Lewis.
Wait a minute, Gerald. You're giving the right answers for these words.
Exactly, Lewis. That's just the point. You see, this kind of a test is one they always use if they suspect a person is feigning in his insanity. Association of ideas. What other word does a given word suggest?
But you've been saying things these words do suggest.
Ah, but so does an insane person, Lewis. At least the kind of insane person I've decided to be, namely a manic depressive.
A manic depressive?
One of the subtler forms of mental derangement, Lewis. What a pity you don't know about these things. Here. Here, let me show you. I think it's best described in this book of Altman's. Yes, here, read this.
A manic depressive type. Here, the individual is subject to violently alternating moods. In a low or depressive mood, he's frequently uncommunicative and monosyllabic. Reaction time is slow. He believes himself persecuted by friends and relatives. Often cries in self-pity, even contemplates suicide.
Go on. The manic state. Read about that.
In the opposing manic or elated state, he has exaggerated ideas of his importance. A frequent symptom is extravagant dreams and nightmares. There is a record of the patient who boasted that he dreamt of owning all the money in the world and then scattering it broadside to the poor. And in another case...
It's quite simple, Lewis. But I can learn from books like these how other insane men have acted. What's to prevent me from imitating their insanity to the last detail?
But these men who'll examine you, they'll all be experts.
And they'll be dealing with an expert, remember that. I wouldn't worry if I were you, Lewis. Another week of studying the cases in these books and I'll be ready for them. In fact, I've an idea I'm going to enjoy my little venture into madness. I'm sure of it.
Black.
White.
Girl.
Boy.
Flower.
Beautiful.
Sane.
Insane.
Laugh. Faster.
Cry.
Hope.
Fear.
Faster. Sleep.
Dream.
What makes you think these friends have tried to poison you? Answer me.
I'm trying to. I can't think. They just are.
How long have you had this idea? Where did it come from?
I don't know. Leave me alone. I'm tired.
You've got to answer. And these depressions, how often do you have them?
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. No one understands, that's all. But you do, don't you, Doctor?
These times when I'm depressed, well, everybody's like that sometimes. You know that, Doctor. You know that, don't you?
But times like now, it's different. Is that it?
No, I'm myself. And I'm a genius when I feel myself. You can tell that. You're a great doctor. I am. I can make money faster than any man in this country. And not only that, it's what I'm going to do with it. Listen to me, Doctor. You'll understand. I... Deep.
Shallow.
Slow.
Slower. Or fast.
Running.
Painting. I mean walking. No, you don't ask me that. Just let me be. Why can't you leave me alone? Of course I'll tell you. You want to know about me? I'm Gerald Conway. I'm the Gerald Conway. Of course I'll tell you. I'm Gerald Conway.
The court will be in order. You may continue the cross-examination, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Sampson, during the course of this trial, you have heard the testimony of the other alienists who examined my client. Alienists for both defense and prosecution.
I have.
They testified that my client was definitely a manic depressive, did they not?
Yes.
But you have as yet made no definite statement as to your opinion. Now, would you, speaking as a recognized expert, swear that the defendant, Gerald Conway, is sane?
I wouldn't swear that my own mother's sane.
Please answer my question.
I wouldn't swear that he is sane. No, I agree with the others. Conway's reactions are typical of those of a manic depressive psychote.
That's all.
No more questions.
Next witness.
I'll call Miss Evelyn Spear.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Take the stand.
Your name and occupation.
I'm Evelyn Spear. The past 4 years, I've been private secretary to Gerald Conway.
And naturally, in the course of business, you've seen a great deal of the defendant.
I have.
We can't hear in the jury box.
I have.
During that 4 years, Miss Spear, have you seen any action on the part of the defendant which would lead you to believe he was insane?
No. Oh, no, of course I haven't. And he's not insane. Oh, don't you all see the thing he's done? He's played a part for this court and for the doctors who examined him. You don't know Gerald Conway, any of you. He can make anyone believe anything he wants. Of course he's not insane. He's lying now, just as he's lied about everything he's ever done. You've got to find him sane and then convict him. You've got to, do you hear?
Your Honor, I move the statement of Miss Spear be stricken. Conclusion of the witness, irrelevant, immaterial, and...
Motion granted. Let it be stricken.
Miss Spear, please just answer this by yes or no. Did you ever see in Mr. Conway any signs of what appeared to you as insanity?
No.
Your witness.
And now, Miss Spear.
Thomas.
Yes?
Just ask her two questions. If she was ever in love with me, and what I told her when she admitted it. Nothing more.
But,
do as I say.
All right. And Miss Spear, are you or were you ever in love with the defendant?
I refuse to answer that question.
Could you tell us then just what the defendant said when you confessed your love for him?
I object in proper cross-examination, leading the witness, assuming a fact.
I withdraw the question. That's all.
Have you further witnesses, Mr. Prosecutor?
No, Your Honor. That concludes the case.
Wait a minute.
Just a moment at the court, please. Yes, Joe? Your Honor, I've just been informed that Dr. Kurt Altman, one of the world's leading specialists in criminal psychology, has arrived in the city. The state asks an adjournment of this trial while the defendant is examined by Dr. Altman.
And I protest, Your Honor. We've had experts here already, plenty of them, and all of them have agreed...
Thomas, don't argue. Let him examine me.
But you can't. Why take a chance? Altman's that fellow from Vienna. He'll see through you in 5 minutes.
Really? No, I don't think so. Tell the court that we agree.
Your Honor, the defense agrees to examination by Dr. Altman.
But you don't understand, Dr. Altman.
Yeah, I know you feel unhappy, but still you must talk to me. Old Altman can help you, maybe. In Europe, he has helped many who are depressed like you are now.
There's no one can help me. I have no friends, only enemies.
Too bad. You feel like this often, yeah? You sometimes think life is not worth living, maybe,
How did you know that?
I know many things. I'm sorry for you, my son.
Oh, Doctor, you don't know what it's like. With everyone against you, alone and afraid. I never told the others this, but I am afraid. You won't let them hurt me, will you? You'll make them leave me alone. Please, Doctor. Please.
Yeah, my son, yeah. I think we talk enough for today. Oh, guard, you will take him back.
Yes, Doctor.
Oh, and guard, watch him carefully. In a case like this, there should soon be a definite change of attitude. He will become elated, confident, and very talkative. When that has happened, you must be brought to me again, at once.
Yes, Doctor. Come along, Conway.
Stevens? Altman speaking. Yes, I've just sent him back. A peculiar case, Stevens. I need your help. I want you to get for me all the records of the trial and the books of the company. Don't ask me why, just get them. I told you this was a very peculiar case.
Just like you said the other day, Doctor, Conway did change just overnight. He thinks he owns the joint this morning.
Good, good. Send him in here, then leave us alone.
Yes, sir. All right, Conway, in here.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Dr. Altman, you see, I remembered. Dr. Altman, you're from Vienna, aren't you?
Yeah,
I'm sorry about the other day. I remember I was upset in a way. Just down. The blues, that's all it is. Everybody gets them once in a while. It didn't mean a thing.
Conway, I want to talk to you. Please, sit down here.
Of course, I'm glad to talk to you. It isn't very often that I meet a person on my own level of intelligence. You see, being a genius, I naturally...
I'll draw the curtain, so...
But it's too bad to shut out the daylight. It's a glorious day outside. You know that, don't you?
We will have music, the phonograph.
Yes, yes, do. I like music. I compose it myself sometimes. Melodies of... Music. How did you know?
I told you before, I know many things, my son. Now. Now that you feel better today, tell me about yourself.
That music. Do you know what it is? It's the theme song of my victory. It always has been. I heard it first when I was just a child. I'd licked another boy in a fight, and I was on my way home from school when I heard that melody.
You have said that you are a genius. How do you know?
The things I do. Money. I've always had it. More than I could spend. I even dream about money. Do you know that?
You dream about it? Yeah. Tell me. It sounds interesting.
Why, I dreamt once that I owned all the money in the world and I was scattering it broadside to the poor.
So now it is out.
Dr. Altman, don't you want me...
I want you to stop pretending, acting that you are insane.
Acting?
Yes, my friend. From the first, I am suspicious your reactions are those of a manic depressive, yes. But they are too quick, too positive. But now I am sure. Your dream... I own all the money in the world and I scatter it broadside to the poor. In the future, remember this, my friend. When you quote the actual words from a book, remember who was its author.
You wrote that book.
I did.
Well, this rather complicates matters. You see, Dr. Altman, I'm determined not to go to the penitentiary.
You prefer an asylum? Yes, I can understand it. Well?
How much?
How much?
For you to forget the last 5 minutes and report to the court.
That you are insane? How much would you say it was worth?
50,000.
So little? From the man who has dreamed of owning all the money in the world?
100.
No. 200,000. And you can pay it. You see, I have seen the books of your company.
You win. 1 hour after you swear that I'm insane in this courtroom, the money will be delivered to you wherever you say. Is it agreed?
Let us just say, I shall think it over.
Solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this courtroom shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Your name, occupation?
Dr. Kurt Altman. I'm a psychiatrist.
Inasmuch as defense has already stipulated as to your qualifications as an expert, will you tell us the findings of your examination of the defendant?
Of course.
Dr. Altman, is the defendant Gerald Conway sane or insane?
There is not the slightest doubt upon that point. Gerald Conway is insane.
He's in here. Go right in, Doc. I'll wait outside.
Thank you.
Hello, Dr. Altman.
Well, my son?
I asked them to let me see you before they took me away tomorrow. I wanted to check up. The money was delivered?
Yes, and in the correct amount.
I doubt that psychiatry has ever been so profitable before, Doctor.
I don't know. You see, I didn't have the money very long. I have already transferred it to the referee in bankruptcy of your company. Your investors will get back at least a portion of their money.
But that doesn't make sense, Doctor. If you weren't going to keep the money, why did you lie on the witness stand?
Why did I lie? You wonder about that?
Yes.
My dear young man, the testimony that I gave in court was under oath. I did not lie. You are insane.
You're joking.
No, I do not joke about such things. There are other types of insanity besides the one you feigned. On some of them, an expert is never fooled. You are insane.
You're lying to frighten me. You're lying and trying to frighten me. I know. I know.
I did not lie. You are insane.
Stop saying that. Stop saying that. It's wrong, do you hear? It's wrong. I planned all this. You're just being taken in like all the rest.
I was not taken in. The very way in which you planned it was part of what convinced me. You are insane.
I'm not insane. I'm not insane. You're going to tell them that I'm not...
Incurably, hopelessly insane.
Stop that. Stop it. You're going to stop it or I'll kill you. I'll kill you, do you hear? I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'll kill
you. Hey, Doctor. Doctor, you all right?
Yes. I suggest you bring a straitjacket for that poor fellow on the floor.
Yeah. He's really pretty far gone, ain't he?
Yes, pretty far. You know, did you ever wonder at the eternal justice of such things? I have.
You just heard Robert Montgomery, an expert opinion. In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's show. But right now, we think you'll be interested in hearing from a young man with a brief but special word for you, the hostess. All right, John Carney?
Many of you women have probably said to yourselves time and again as you set the table for dinner, I'm beginning to be ashamed of this silver. One of these fine days, I'm going to buy some really good silverware instead. And you meant to keep that promise. But what with this and that and the other necessity constantly cropping up, you felt you couldn't afford to buy new silverware. Well, may I say that now is a very excellent time to fulfill your promise, because now you can get the most famous silver plate in America, 1847 Rogers Brothers silver plate, at substantial savings. A service for eight, 62 pieces of gleaming silver plate, beautifully wrought in 1847 Rogers Brothers Lovelace pattern, can now be yours at a saving of more than $14 over open stock price. And believe me, Lovelace is one of the finest creations of this distinguished house. A pierced pattern with sterling-like detail and ornament exquisite as old lace, Lovelace is a design of radiant loveliness executed in lifetime plate. See it tomorrow, Monday, wherever fine silverware is sold, and learn upon what easy, convenient terms you can own silver plate from the proudest house in America. Silver plate that bears the design prestige of America's first great craftsman, 1847 Rogers Brothers. And now back to Conrad Nagel.
Ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday, Robert Montgomery does a dramatic turnabout to play the starring role in a comedy drama. Be sure to listen. In the meantime, if you want solid silver, you want international sterling. And if you want silver plate, you want 1847 Rogers Brothers, both proudly created by International Silver Company. Expert Opinion was written for Silver Theater by True Boardman. Original music heard on this program was composed and conducted by Felix Mills.
All names and designations of persons and of business organizations used in the course of this broadcast are entirely fictitious, and no actual business organization and no living person is thereby actually referred to or designated. Silver Theater originates at Columbia Square in Hollywood. This is John Conte speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Columbia Broadcasting System.